Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is a beautiful fall morning here where we are in Columbus, Ohio, coming to you on Chai Chat, and we have a really good show for you today. I want to introduce ourselves. Our show, first of all, is about transforming the world of work, and we've been doing our show for about a year now, a whole season, and my wonderful co-host is creative leadership guru Mary Rockenstein. Mary, good morning to you. Why don't you introduce
Good
yourself
morning.
To the audience in case this is a first show for somebody listening to us?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My company is Leadership Edge Solutions, and although I'm a general business consultant, I have a certification with the John Maxwell brand. So glad to have everybody
awesome.
Listening in today.
Yeah, awesome. And I am Victoria Vitier. I have Enlightened Life Coaching is my business, and I am a personal coach. I also do career coaching and entrepreneurial coaching for small business and people getting into doing something that matters. So there's a segue. We're talking today about work as service, and first I'm going to recap September. We're sorry we didn't, we weren't able to bring you a second show in September. Our lives got a little complicated there, and some things took us away from being able to plan the show. We wanted to plan a really good one for you, so we decided to push it out to October, which is this show, and we're talking today about work as service. But in September, it was the commemorative show that we were doing to reference 9/11, of course, and we were talking about compassion in the workplace and a real important choice point called fear or love. And in that show, we were pointing out how at that particular time in history, an event, an unfortunate event that occurred in our country created an atmosphere that really kind of caught on as a very, very important, compassionate, loving time for people to step forward and serve in many, many ways to help to rebuild New York Ground Zero, and to help each other, and that really lasted a long time, right, Mary? That was a really kind of important chapter for us to see what love could do.
Yeah, it was sustainable over months. It was pretty incredible how we treated each other and how that one defining moment really changed our lives, really forever, but in a really positive way. It just seemed to really have a long-term sustainable change. So.
And I think, you know, all of us who live through that locally and maybe even abroad, you know, realize and have experienced times when that's happened in their country. And the fact is that, you know, we made a choice at that time to put our service foot forward. And we talked in the last show, it's really worth listening to. We kind of gave you a Buddhist myth that had a very important sort of punchline to it, and we would like you to, you know, take a listen to that. It was about serving and thinking of others first. We also talked about the 10 reasons why compassion is hot from the Huffington Post article in 2012. There were 10 really important reasons why leading with our compassion foot is really a good way to go. And today, of course, we're going to segue into a topic called work as service, and the subtitle being doing something that matters, so that we take all of what we did there in the September show and we bring it forward here and expand this in terms of helping you to realize why these principles are very important and what's being done in certain companies out there to put these principles into play and how awesome the work they're doing is. Right, Mary? So we're going to cover some things today.
Right, and as we introduce the topic, I think what really brings it home is a slide that you put up on the website, Victoria, for Chai Chat. No matter how small you start something that matters. That's pretty powerful, and I think that really just gets to the essence of what we're going to talk about today. Victoria and I both are fans of Seth Godin. He's an author, he's a marketing guru, and he's kind of stepping into the world of leadership as well. But he writes a blog that we both subscribe to. And on September 18th, he wrote a blog. I'm just going to read it. It was actually one of his more brief blogs, so I believe we'll have time to read this. But it's called The Free Giver Advantage. Freeloaders, of course, are people who take more than they give, drains on the system. But the opposite is magical. These are the people who feed the community first, who give before taking, who figure out how to always give a little more than they take. What happens to a community filled with free givers? Ironically, every member of that community comes out ahead. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Awesome.
Wouldn't you agree, Victoria?
Yeah, that's a great quote. I like his writing. It's succinct, and it's right to the heart of the topic.
Yeah. And as we think, there was a book written many, many years ago. I referenced this on one of our very, very early shows. It's the author was Olivia MacGyver, and she wrote a book called The Business of Kindness. And it really gets to the heart of this as well. And she maintains that the business of kindness is really, there are three components or three facets of this. If we really want to embrace service in the community and embrace work as service, we have to, first of all, be kind to ourselves. And we actually have recorded a few shows that really talk about that, whether it's authenticity, be, do, have versus do, have, be mode of living. But she really stresses the importance of authenticity and having a great attitude about yourself. You have to do that. Once we've embraced kindness to ourselves, we have to embrace kindness to our colleagues. And that's where, you know, trust and compassion are two components that really come into play with that. And then finally, if we're being kind to ourselves and being kind to our colleagues, then and only then can we really embrace kindness in the community, which is really about service, what we're talking about today, and then also integrity. So there are a lot of companies out there. We don't have time today to even scratch the surface. We're going to highlight a few, but, you know, companies give to help causes, but they also, in so doing, they help their customers and they help their employees as well. So let's talk about a few of the companies that do that. Sound good, Victoria?
Yeah, it does. And I like the model that you just put forth, because again, it's as within, so without. You know, things, it's an inside out. She's describing what we've talked about in prior shows in terms of this emanating circle, pebble in the pond. You know, when you do, when you start with self, and that radiates outward, and then that radiates outward. And we really have to start at home. We have to start in this small seed way. In our unconsciousness. So, yeah, I like that. Yeah, and there's a lot of great companies out there that have taken this to heart, that have decided that they're going to make their business a business of service, which does not preclude profit or anything like that or abundance, but it, in fact, is good business. We'll talk about that later, too.
Yeah, so one of the first companies that we want to highlight is called Tom's Glasses, and I love the location. I love just saying this word. It's located in Playa del Rey, California, and it's built on the principle one for one. So they sell both glasses and shoes. So for every pair of shoes or eyeglasses that you purchase, they donate a pair of new shoes or glasses to a deserving child. And they try to find, this to me is really incredible, they try to find communities in the world that will benefit the most from receiving the shoes and the glasses. And also, listen to this, they also try to identify those areas where local businesses won't be negatively affected. So not only are they being altruistic, but they're being kind and compassionate to companies that, quite frankly, would be their competitors. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a holistic view of this. You know, I think it's because this has components, because just as we talked about the concentric circles, you know, they wanted to do an act of kindness, but they also wanted to make sure that they didn't disrupt the community or offend the community or in any way, be misunderstood by the community as well.
And we both, I know as I get older and struggle with dry eye, I'm wearing glasses more and more. And I went online and just looked at some of their frames. They've got wonderful a wonderful selection.
Do.
I mean, they really do. It's just, it's pretty cool. So I am going to try to make my next purchase of eyeglasses from Tom's Glasses because I believe in what they're doing. I think that's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually reading Blake Mycoskie's book, Start Something That Matters, which was written back when they were starting, you know, when just after they had the shoe aspect of their company before they went into glasses. And it's a fascinating, it's a very nice autobiographical read. And, he, you know, really he started this out by going on a trip to, he ended one job, he went on a trip to a part of the world he'd always wanted to go and realized that there in South America, you know, they were wearing these neat shoes. Everybody was wearing them. And he thought, you know, about how cool they were, but not only that, he also thought about, you know, how much there was, you know, disease and injury and such for children that did not have shoes, you know, struggle and pain that did not have to exist if they simply had things to cover their feet. And so he looked at those and said, geez, these should be pretty easy to manufacture. Long story short, came back to California and started making these things, basically, kind of, sort of, you know, and selling these things, you know, out of their apartment there, unbeknownst to their landlord. But, you know, so it was shoestring. It was a concept that struck him when he went to a part of the world that had less than the parts of the world that he was used to being in and wanted to do something that mattered. And it just caught on. I mean, and they had collaborative people step forward. Because, again, you don't do anything alone. All of this takes collaboration. It takes people, you know, who believe in your vision. Which is also really important. I might just mention this as a coach. I often talk with people who want to start something that matters, and I tell them in the very beginning, be very, very careful who it is that you sort of share this vision with, because it's kind of like a seedling. You want to make sure that you protect it until it's strong enough to take root and stand on its own. So, you know, there are a lot of naysayers out there, and you want to make sure that, you know, as you're starting something, as you bring a seed, you know, to germination, you really want to do that with supportive people around, people who, you know, care about your vision, who care about you, and who will be on your team. So that's how Blake started this, with a group of friends in an apartment in California.
Taking an idea.
Yeah, very cool. It's a great read. It might tell you, you know, I love to read. I also put a plug in for a magazine. I used to read all of the major business magazines, and now I read one called Fast Company. And the reason that I always subscribe to Fast Company is because I want to see what's going on out there, big and small, but I want to see all these bright new ideas that come to fruition, you know, just because somebody thought something was a good idea or felt like it was important to bring it forth. And it always makes me feel good to read about companies and people who are actually doing something that matters to them. So.
And speaking of bright and shiny and seedlings, that's a great intro to the next company that I want to highlight, which is in our native city, Pittsburgh, and it's Alcoa. Alcoa is the third largest producer of aluminum, and I'm sure most people know that. But in 2012, they gave away the largest share of pre-tax profits. And when you work at Alcoa, it's pretty obvious that they have two main causes. They have environmental causes, and then they have STEM education, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing. And the environmental piece that they fund is an initiative, this is amazing, to plant 10 million trees around the world between, I believe it's 2010 and 2020. 10 million trees. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's huge. Imagine what that could do, you know, to the sustainability of our planet, you know, alone. They also, having worked at a design firm for a period of time, this to me was pretty incredible. They have a contest every year for their designers called Cradle to Cradle. They believe that the designers that they hire have a pivotal role to play in driving long-term solutions that circumvent the concept of waste in favor of using materials that can remain in what they call perpetual cycle of use and reuse. So they're looking for ways of creating products by using materials that, again, are easily recyclable, which, again, is huge when you think about that. You know, I look at the waste. We recycle in our household because the community in which I live makes it very, very easy to do that, and it's the right thing to do anyway. But
right.
I just look at some of the, you know, the packaging and the containers that businesses still use, and it's just, I mean, it's a sin. It really is, because some of it's recyclable, some of it's not. Some of it's recyclable but not biodegradable. It's, you know, mm-hmm. do we really pay attention to those things? Because I think that's huge.
It is. And, you know, and the interesting thing about this example, Elko is a huge, huge company. Some of the examples we're going to talk about here are smaller companies. Of course, Tom's isn't anymore, but it used to be. You know, even if you're talking about a huge, huge company, corporation, it doesn't mean that there can't be an element of consciousness and an element of, you know, doing something that matters and thinking about the community and thinking about the concentric circles of positive impact.
Mm-hmm.
So Alcoa is a very good example of a huge company that just could go marching on, you know, its merry way and not think about these things. But, you know,
yeah,
the bigger
yeah.
you are, the more you can do. So, you know, that's great. 10 million trees is quite, you know, the
that's no mile
rebuilding ecology. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
And another company that I think deserves mentioning, and it's probably one that most people have heard of because you see their products
mm-hmm.
in stores all the time, is Burt's Bees, you know, which focuses on health and beauty products. They actually partner with Habitat for Humanity, which, again, most people have heard of. But they also, again, similar to Alcoa, they work on the development of sustainable packaging solutions. And what I really find interesting about them is that they broadcast that they have a triple bottom line. It's about people, it's about profit, and it's about the planet. Good for us, good for you, good for all, the greater good. That's pretty cool. And I, you know, in reading an article about them, I thought this is pretty cool. They don't have any trash cans at their desks, you know, so they're really, you know, reinforcing, again, sustainability. And they do some other things with their employees. But one of the things that they encourage is they want their employees to take time off to do good for the world. And each year they hold a culture day to promote community outreach. So they've done things like planted urban gardens. They've built hive boxes for the recovering bee population. They include, you know, they encourage wellness, you know, many, many things. But I just, you know, wow. what an amazing concept. People, profit, and planet. I think that kind of says it all, don't you think?
Absolutely, and it's kind of neat that they're actually also, because of their name, Burt's Bees, doing rehab and sustainability and population growth of bee population, because it's a very important, if anybody's read about this, but the bee population has dropped significantly, which really upsets the ecosystem, et cetera, et cetera. So they're really putting a lot of effort into farming bees and spreading the population of bees and creation of honey. One of the things about Burt's Bees, I know, is that they make a lot of products for babies, very, very safe products. You know, I've got an elder mom, and I have no problem buying her, you know, lotion for her face from Burt's Bees because I know it's for babies. So it's a product line that's really nice because they're also thinking about you know, safety and how to make their products very, very kind to
yeah,
tender skin.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, another brand that's probably very recognizable to our listeners. It's part of the Mammoth Procter & Gamble located in Cincinnati, but it's Tide. And I wasn't aware of this. You know, most of these initiatives that we're talking about today I was aware of, but I did not realize that Tide did this. But they have a program called Tide Loads of Hope. And what they do, they go around and provide disaster relief in communities, you know, whether it be flooding, you know, hurricanes, earthquakes,
mm-hmm.
what have you. But, you know, their belief is, you know, you're going to feel better if you have clean clothes, if you have the ability,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have clean clothes. That makes a difference. So they have this huge, I'd call it like a trailer. It's a truck that has, if you open up the side of the truck, it has numerous washers and dryers. And they just pull that thing into communities, and people can clean their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sounds so simple, but if you are in the middle of the chaos that comes or accompanies a disaster such as the ones that I mentioned, that can mean a lot to bringing you hope and a positive spirit and believing that there's a way out. And
absolutely.
That's actually one of the slides, I think, that you highlighted.
Yep, Yep, I tried to get a picture of the big, big van with the washers and dryers in it. It also, if you think about it, would also cut back on, you know, on potential spread of bacteria, disease, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah.
You know, being able to wash clothing would make people feel, you know, better. There's also, and we didn't put this one up, but I heard there's another effort where there's a guy who, I don't know where I saw this, might even be in Fast Company, but who had portable showers, who was turning vans into portable showers. So he was doing something like this, but instead of washing clothes, it was people being able, and this was mainly initiated for homeless, that these vans mm-hmm. would pull into communities where, you know, homeless people could come in, get a shave, get a, you know, it was amazing what they redid. They actually made the inside of the van look like a really nice bathroom. And,
that's incredible.
Yeah. So I, you know, and they hooked it up to the water line in the town, and of course the towns would allow them to access the water lines. So there, you know, there's just so many good things, and we're going to talk about a few more here. But just as I was researching these for the show, I felt uplifted. I'm just going to tell you people that as I, you know, when we research topics and plan our shows, and you know, a lot of what we're talking about really makes me feel good to be able to get on air and tell you about. And you know, because it just, as we're talking about here, it you know, it's an inside out kind of thing. It feels good to do good. It feels a service, I think, is really hardwired into us as human beings, to be quite honest.
And I'll just share another one briefly, that I worked for a company at one time and was actually able to start an initiative, I'll call it, whereby it did not become a 401(c). We avoided becoming a nonprofit simply because if we had done that, anybody that was contributing to this initiative would not be able to benefit from it. And it was an initiative to help the employees of this company if they came upon tough times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the stories would literally bring tears to your eyes of mm-hmm. some of the things that were happening. But people would, you know, fill out an application, and some folks chose to contribute to this perpetually through payroll deduction. Mm-hmm. Others, mm-hmm. you know, hey, if you need money, let me know. But I can tell you that any time we ran into something that, wow, these people are really struggling, you know, we'd like to do X, Y, and Z, the contributions just flooded in. And again, keep in mind, this was not money that you could then claim against, you know, your taxes.
Right.
So
right.
there was no tax benefit for contributing, and yet it was phenomenal what it did.
Yeah.
You know, it just reinforced the culture of this company and what they stood for. It was pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk in a minute about why it's great to work for companies who give back. But in the meantime, we've got just a couple more that we wanted to mention, right? We've got some slides up there for One Laptop.
Now this is a nonprofit. So we were trying to avoid nonprofits because, quite frankly, nonprofits do a lot of good, but let's face it, that's why they're nonprofits. So mm-hmm. we really wanted to spend some time highlighting the for-profit corporations and private industry. But this is a really, I think, worthy mention. One Laptop Per Child is a nonprofit established with the goal of transforming education for kids in low-income economies. So they aim to provide each child with a low-cost, low-powered, connected laptop. So they actually do a lot of repurposing of hardware and content and software, and really to help make learning more joyful and more self-empowered for these kids in these communities.
Cool. Cool. And this is a worldwide project,
It's worldwide, And then the last one, which is really kind of interesting when you think about it, because, you know, we've spent some time talking about, you know, ecology and, you know, the environment and so forth. But, you know, sometimes it's all about play. And that's why at the end of our shows, you always do a home play, because play is really important in our lives. And there's a project called One Football Project, and it's a foundation that has somehow created a soccer ball. This is pretty astounding to me. That never needs air. So it never goes flat, even if it's punctured. And apparently these footballs are literally at this point all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so for every One World football you buy, they give a second ball to a community in need, working through organizations in disadvantaged communities such as, you know, refugee camps, war zones, disaster areas, and even inner cities. And their mantra is, again, play is in our DNA, which I think is, pretty cool and pretty true, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and it's important to feel uplifted, especially in hard times, and, you know, and it's very touching. I was looking at the pictures for this project. I did pick one for the slideshow, but some areas of the world the kids are playing with, you know, wads of yarn, I mean, kicking them around. I mean, that's as close to a football as they had, and so
yeah.
to have a beautiful, you know, soccer ball, you know, essentially for them to play with that never can be destroyed is pretty awesome.
That is, yeah.
Another for-profit company I just want to throw out there, you guys might want to take a look at Life is Good. Again, that's, you know, they're doing, they have the Life is Good Foundation, and they, you know, kind of started with T-shirts in a van, selling from card tables in New England to doing a lot. So that's another cool company. And we could just go on and on and on. There's just so many for-profit, non-profit. But, you know, let me tell you what I came up with in terms of five good reasons why it's great to work for companies who give back. Because workplace disengagement, in my mind, would drop to nothing, probably. People would be engaged, in my mind, if they worked for companies that they felt a service to in the world and that company was doing something that mattered to them. Because it would give a person a greater sense of connection to their community. That's another good reason to work for companies who give back. Also because kindness is simply good for business. As Mary mentioned earlier, you know, it's good financially for a business to do good things. It's also good for your health. And if it's good for your health, it's good for profits because people are healthier, they come to work, et cetera, there's less strain, you know, on the company financially. And last of all, because it connects you to something bigger than yourself. And I think, quite frankly, we're all wired in that direction to
yeah.
really feel and want to be connected to something bigger than ourselves. And as I said, as I was researching, you know, for this, I felt good just looking through all these companies and knowing all this good stuff's going on out there. So that brings us to our home play, right, Mary, a little bit?
Yes. So what is
all
it
right.
going to be this week?
Well, what it's going to be this week is I'd just like everybody to take a deep breath and maybe just imagine a world where everyone was employed doing something that mattered to them. What if everyone that showed up for work was only working in terms of service and love? And yeah, they got paid, but they were showing up because what they were doing mattered to them. Imagine
yeah.
what your work world would look like in this way. What would you be doing? How would you be of service? Is it where you work now? Is it what you do now? And if not, why not do something that matters to you would be my home play. So this is thinking about, feeling into, what would that world be like, and what if you were part of that world? Because, again, it starts with Pebble in the Pond. As we talked about earlier, each one of these companies started with a seed idea, a seed intention, something they wanted to bring good into this world. And it
yep.
starts small, doesn't it, Mary?
It absolutely does.
Yeah. So I'd like everybody to sort of feel into this. Think about what you're doing. Think about where you're working. Think about even where you're working, if there's some way that you could bring something that mattered to you, to what you're doing, or something that you could suggest as an initiative for the company that matters to people who work there. There's so much that can be planted, so much that can be grown out there in terms of work of service. And I think if each one of us has a little bit more of a conscientious mentality and brings that imperative into our work world, that world will change and the disengagement numbers will go down, profits will go up, everyone will benefit. So
absolutely.
I
great.
Think it's worth
sounds
thinking
like a
about.
Plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to kind of continue this thread into our next show for you guys. So you know, take a share this one if you would please. Share all our shows; they're all available on archive. I think Mary, you've got a box on your an archive box on your website, which is the Leadership Edge, right? LLC.
It's the Leadership Edge LLC. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
.com.
And on my page, I just redid my website. Mary just recently came out with her new website, so take a look at our sites. We're very proud of them. And I've got a show on mine. I've got a radio show box, so you can always find these shows on our website. So we're going to see you next month. Thank you, Mary. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Please share the show, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Okay?
Okay,
see you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.